10 second detail.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Did y'all see the video of the girl, the woman who took the selfie with the bear?
Yes. Did you see the one? Is it the same one?
They're on a trail in Mexico. And the bear comes up. No, she's Mexican, I think.
Okay. I saw the one with the video.
Here.
No, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
It's in Mexico.
Is the girl
Asian? See, and she took this. I don't think so.
Yeah, I saw that from a different angle. There's an angle behind.
Well, yeah. No, there's an angle behind, and then they.
Yeah, there it is, right there.
And then they show the selfie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I wondered if she was taking a selfie, but they're staying very still,
yeah,
like you're supposed to do.
What would you have done?
Okay, so here's the thing.
Run like a little
I've seen lots of Alone. No, I've seen lots of Alone. I know what you're supposed to do. You get out your bear spray and you spray it.
No, you don't spray the bear.
Yeah, you do. If a bear comes up, you get out your bear spray and you spray it.
Oh, my. You.
Yeah.
Do you think that would be.
Or make yourself wide and go, rah! Like. Make yourself
Del, what would you have done? You'd have run like a little biznatch, wouldn't you?
Have you seen the video of the bear?
What? See, that's what I'm saying.
What no. would you have done since you're asking all the questions?
I would have probably gone, you want to go? You want to go, bear?
That's actually...
Look at there she is.
That's actually not a bad idea to say.
You want
to
go?
It is pretty amazing that in the midst of being hounded by a bear who's being playful, but that can turn at any time.
It looked like he grabbed her booty.
I know. Oh, no. Wait till I show you the video that my man Catman sent me.
Do you think bears are grabbing booty?
Well, wait until I show you this video Catman sent me. There's already somebody who's put a voice to the bear. He's like, girl, what you working with back there? And you see his head go down and he starts pawing at her.
Yeah.
It's.
Why don't you play it?
I got to double check it. I think it's clean. But it doesn't matter. You got to be able to see the video anyway.
Girl, what you got going?
Yeah.
What you doing? Did you ever say, what you doing with that mouth, though?
No. At no point is that.
What's that mouth do, though? What is it?
No point is that ever on.
I don't want to. I don't. The bear didn't say any of the things you think it said.
No. At no point does the bear do any of that stuff.
It looked like he was grabbing some booty. I like that bear. Bear is a little aggressive. Do you think the bear will have some kind of a sexual harassment issue?
I don't know.
With HR.
I don't think the bear would
show up. With the park HR.
I don't think the bear would show up to court.
Chris just said, me too, bear? It was a me too, bear. It was being highly inappropriate.
It wasn't appropriate.
Both its paws, I can tell you that. Yeah. Highly inappropriate.
Bottom of the hour, Nick Carparelli is going to join us here on the show. We'll talk about college football. College football is going off, bro. College football is going to be played this fall. Now, I got a bet with my buddy.
He is
convinced, first of all, he thinks the SEC and the Big 12 is going to play a full schedule. I'm not convinced of that. I think my buddy is an OSU guy. You know, Chad. He says OSU and Alabama are working on going to Jerry's World. Now, they're not going to get paid as much because they can't get as many fans in there. They're going to do 30-40% or 50 if they can even get 50% in there.
Oh, they can't get to 50 in Texas?
No.
Tell that to the University of Texas.
Yeah, University of Texas. But that's outside. That's a different deal.
It isn't going to matter. They can talk about all they want to do. They're not. I guarantee you the pressure is going to be too substantial.
I'm telling you, we're going to be in a different world in a couple of months.
Yeah, but I keep hearing that. Well, yeah, they said that in two months ago, and we're in a worse world.
Yeah, right.
And rollbacks.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, we're finding out that everybody's getting it, and the death rate is way lower than everybody thinks. Way lower. So, anyway... he's convinced that the SEC and the Big 12 are both playing a full schedule. I'm not. But I do think they're all going to play conference games.
There's an article.
Every Power 5 school.
You know, Atlanta and their kickoff games, they scheduled three of them and featuring, obviously, out-of-conference opponents. And there's some talk, possibly, of because the SEC and the ACC want to preserve their rivalry games that feature like Florida, Florida State, South Carolina, Clemson, stuff like that. Yeah. So there's some talk of playing a schedule of plus one where you just play that rivalry game plus your conference. But the kickoff game's like, we want to do plus one. Yeah, how about us? How about us? So one of the guys who's helps running it saying he's trying to find a way to get like either Alabama Notre Dame, although you're talking about Alabama Oklahoma State, or maybe an Alabama or a Notre Dame Miami game, because those are the conversations being had. He said he's already talked to those athletic directors.
Miami's the layup.
Well, doesn't Notre Dame need a full schedule? I mean, get some games anyway. Now they got their five ACC games.
Yes, and the ACC has said, at least the conference commissioner said, they would work with Notre Dame to help them get a full schedule.
Yeah.
But see, here's the thing. The concern is going to be, like, does the Pac-12 move their football to the spring? And if you do that, I don't know if a Power 5 conference, apparently high school football in California has been wiped out for.
They're delaying it.
Wiped out for the fall is what Heather Dinich was saying. Is that they've heard, or maybe Mike Golick this morning said, there's not going to be high school football in California.
They've postponed. They haven't made a full decision about when it's going to start. Well, actually, let me see. They have been moved. CIF, which is California High School Football, they're moving it to April, it looks like.
I don't.
The CF playoffs are moving in April, so the season would start
February. They're moving to spring. Yeah, that's what I thought they said. So they're moving to the
Texas
spring.
Texas is in the fall.
They're moving to spring.
Florida's in the fall.
Already. So here's the thing.
Yeah, Florida don't care. Texas and Florida don't care.
But if the Power 5, if a Power 5 conference like the Pac-12 moves to the spring.
Felicia.
I don't understand. Yeah, they might as well not even play this year.
Yeah, right.
Because they, from a draft standpoint, it's going to be, but we got to quit talking about the draft like that's a major determining factor. Most players will not be drafted.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal too, is that when we were talking about this yesterday, is that the SWAC can move to the spring because they don't have that many. They're going to get their players to play. Clemson ain't getting Trevor Lawrence to play in the spring. They just ain't.
There's
a lot of other guys if the Pac-12 moves to the spring, there's a lot of guys that are going to the pros that are going, I ain't playing now because I'm going to the pros.
Do you think there's going to be a catalyst for guys just sitting out their entire junior years when it goes to the fall for sure?
Maybe.
It doesn't make sense, though, to me. Why would you have played, do you think you were going to be decapitated in season? What do you think is going to happen?
No.
How many players?
In the spring, I get.
The fall has never made sense to me.
Well, I haven't seen any. Have we seen any of the guys that said, I'm not playing?
I can tell you one thing. A trainer I talked to said he was going to recommend to all of his. This trainer was going to recommend to all of his players that are going to come to him, because that's already being set up in advance, to not play.
This year?
All draft prospects. Why? Not play.
Why?
Because he just.
What's the sense? If
it's spring.
Oh, it's spring. I would tell you what. If I was a pro prospect, I wouldn't play in the spring either.
I don't. But see, here's my thing. The only argument for that is that if you get injured late in a spring season with a knee, you have no chance to come back that year.
Well, not only that, but you're playing in the spring and there's so little turnover time to go to the NFL immediately after.
I can tell you this. Most of these guys who were a high percentage of players. Now, Trevor Lawrence is different. Fields is different. But once you get outside of about six guys, the rest of them really are not established in terms of their draft value is not really established at all. And guys who play are going to establish draft value. Guys who don't play, if they didn't play, if they're really, really good sophomores, really, really good, that's fine. If you were a junior and you didn't come out, was probably because you weren't a first two-round guy, more than likely. I mean, you'll have some guys like Marvin Wilson. Marvin Wilson could have come out last year and he didn't come out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. This idea that everyone thinks that somehow they are locked into this great draft slot, it couldn't be further from the truth. Every year, go look at the preseason talk about the players, and then go look at what the draft actually looks like. Guys play themselves into slots. They don't just sit themselves in the slots. Walker Little, for example, from Stanford. I was thinking about him. He didn't have tape since 2018. He's got no tape.
Yeah.
He needs to play. Even if he played half a year, he needs to get some reps.
Absolutely. All right. That's a jab at Walker Little.
It's your way of bringing in sight jab. Okay? One jab at Walker Little. But sight jab will do this for you. And yes, the owner of sight jab loves boxing. That's where that came from. But I can tell you that with sight jab, you have a company who does so much for you. They are they are your internet resource, basically. Yes, the big deal with their services is that they are going to handle your web design. And they can do it from 3 to 6 weeks. They can have a custom-built website for you. But in many cases, you've already got a website. You just know it's dated. It's something that maybe doesn't look great. It's not very functional. They can come in there and completely redo that. Just like renovating a house, they can do that. You know how your house has more value after a renovation? Well, the same thing can be said for your website, because renovation can help you bring more eyes to your site and help you convert more of those eyes into real leads and real money if you are a small to medium-sized business. Go to the website, sitejab.com, and take a look at all the, you know, take a look at some of their web design, some of their portfolio, and I think you're really going to enjoy really thinking about what your website could become with SiteJab. 713-999-4661 or go to sitejab.com.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Okay, welcome back here on ESPN975. 814 713 780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. John and Lance, the bench. Jax is coming with wings because it's National Wing Day. Isn't it National Hot Dog Day too?
I don't know that. I have no idea.
I think so. There's that's national, like there's five all, things every day, right?
There's always a national something.
National something. And multiple national somethings, right?
Yep. Because who's going to keep you from making it national whatever day?
Right, you can make it whatever you want.
There's no governing body. Yep, right. National Hot Dog Day is today as well.
See, I think every day should be national. I'm going to make every day National Golf Day or National Poker Day.
Yeah, you always do that. And National right. Wing Day is actually next Wednesday. Are you sure they're coming today?
Are you sure? National Wing Day is next
National
Wednesday?
Wing Day is on the 29th.
National Wing Day is the 29th, not today.
Well, maybe they're doing it in advance.
Why would they do
this? This is going to really hurt my feelings.
Are you sure that it's today and not next Wednesday?
What do you care if they don't bring fries?
Well,
I care. Would you find this out?
National Wing Day is
when
next.
When did they say?
National Wing Day is next Wednesday.
Well, they may be bringing it in early to.
That doesn't seem like a way to promote.
Well, hold on. Everything's fine.
Is it? Did you let's get see, John's hopes you? Up for no reason?
John is like,
what the?
Hold on, let me check.
What?
I thought. Ooh. Oh, it's gonna be. I'm scared. I'm trying to find
uh-oh.
Where.
Oh, you're.
He's Scrooge. Oh, he got you all where, excited. You're a big tease. That's what you are.
Where
a wing
is,
tease?
I'm not a wing
wow,
tease.
You are a wing tease. The wing tee.
Yeah. I'm telling you, he's going to look at that email and go, oops. Now he's checking with people.
Now I'm checking. I don't know where it is. I can't remember where it is.
This is the biggest a-hole move ever.
Just type you know what?
Type
what's
in
the
Jax.
Biggest a-hole move? You getting some wings?
And not all you getting do wings. All when you said we were getting wings.
Who said it's not?
You said.
Who said you're, okay, you know
not
what?
National Wing Day.
If wings come in, don't eat any today. No, if they come in today, don't eat any since all you did is. I'm a tease, and I'm the worst person.
Well, now,
person.
They might be
don't
promoting because next week is National Wing Day, so get everybody together and get everybody excited.
Don't worry about it.
Jax.
Where'd you get the email from?
Even if it's not, Jax, get over there, make us some wings, and bring them.
I'm trying to find
we're promoting Jax.
Did he even get a text message from Jax?
No, I don't know.
I got an email.
He can't even
find
where
the email is.
A-hole move.
I got to find where the email
is. Just type in Jax.
I'm telling you now, you've guaranteed I'll meet them out there and just bring them right to my car.
Just type in. You do that anyway. Just type in Jax. How hard is that?
Yeah. Trying not to steal the intern's hamburgers.
Yeah, you do that too. J A X. Just type it in your email. It
National
should come up.
Hot Dog Day, there not wings.
Hey, Lance. Next Wednesday is National Wing Day.
Ooh.
What is next Wednesday? When was that sent?
You'll be at the station next Wednesday.
Oh my gosh.
You don't understand.
Can't read it.
In the radio
world,
the idea
email.
Of any food coming in gets people all, especially morning
certainly
because we
excited.
Get hungrier.
Yeah. I mean, the afternoon shows, they get food all the time.
They get food all the time. In the morning, it doesn't happen much for us. So when we have, you know, the talk, like LeShane was going to bring us something in too. He goes, let me know. I don't care. I'll wake up. He goes, where's that scumbag Granato? He keeps asking where you are. Where's that scumbag? What's he doing? Well, I said, it's the same stuff.
I'm done with you.
I think you've cast a pall over the entire show now.
Yeah.
I know. This is a serious offense. When somebody says food's coming in, it gets people like it's the only hope that you have.
I got a long ride to the course today, and I don't have wings.
What would be worse, the fact that I canceled your wings today or if baseball got canceled this year?
Wings today.
See? See what I mean? There's no...
He got his hopes up.
There's absolutely no ability to prioritize.
Whatever. Let's get Longhorn Keith in here. What up, Longhorn Keith?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Nothing funnier than radio yesterday when Gilbert called. Gilbert said Lance was a Scientologist. That was probably the most funniest moment out of all yesterday. Hey, to the point, this is one of the things that has scared me to death, that had me worried the most about this season. And Lance, maybe you can speak on this, but the cyclical effect of high school to college, college to pro, why didn't the NCAA step in or at least have conversations with both, you know, high school and as well as the NFL, or even to even talk about, and maybe they haven't, I just missed it, but talk about ensuring that the draft status will be pushed back and or, you know, evaluating players and the whole recruiting process will change. Because it just seems like to me, nobody knows what – everybody just does what they want to do. And the problem is that it's not like COVID-19 is just in one spot, right? It's all over. So to assume that, you know, the West Coast is not going to do it because it's bad over there, we're all a hot spot. So to assume that, you know, why wouldn't they just say, look, we're going to push it all back, and here's recruiting. Recruiting has to change as well as the NFL draft has to change so that all players will feel safe and secure in the fact that if we push it back, we don't have to worry about our draft status and we don't have to worry about and coaches don't have to worry about recruiting. I just think it's a lack of leadership from what I'm understanding about this from both the NCAA as well as the NFL. I mean, did they ever say anything to you, Lance, or are you guys about pushing the draft back?
So this is the problem. And I understand where you're coming from, but the problem is one of the things we found early on in the process is that and this is kind of a long form answer, but when the federal response to COVID, we treated the whole country like they were the same. We saw in Houston, we were way different than New York, for example, or Boston, or really, frankly, anywhere that had mass transit, Chicago, because we didn't have the spread as quickly. So we were locking everything down when we really didn't have that many instances and cases. And so as, you know, from the federal level, they pushed it to the state level. And so the state level, once it gets to the state level like that, well, anything goes. I mean, whatever the state feels they're going to do.
But as far as college, first of all, you're talking about the draft. And, yeah,
but colleges
the NFL is it won't move, won't budge on something that they want to do. They're like, well, listen, this is what we do. We're a $15 billion business. You want to be here. We're going to do what we do. We're going to have the draft here. As far as college football goes, there is no governing body.
That's what I'm saying.
The SEC is the SEC, and they'll do what they want to do. And if the Pac-12 can't play, the SEC will go, oh, well, we don't care. Big 10, you do what you want to do. Big 12, do what you want to do. ACC? You want to play a conference game? You don't want to play conference games?
But what
no one
the
cares.
Leader, that's the thing is the NFL has nothing to do with that from a leadership standpoint. And if they do that, then the NFL, all the NFL can do right now, it's the same way that they said we're going to have preseason. Here's our schedule release and here's our preseason games. And they were out there until they weren't going to be out there anymore. And the NFL, I think, always knew they probably weren't going to have preseason games. I think they always knew that. You put it out there. And then you change it when you need to change it. Right. I don't think you make preemptive changes. And the fact that they did that, there is logistic issues with the draft in Cleveland. They awarded it in Cleveland. Next year, it's going to go back to Las Vegas. So what they've done, and they're going to keep this year in Cleveland, they're keeping it the same for right now. But I don't know. I think it's fluid, though. I think it's fluid because they don't know exactly what's going to happen with college football. The SEC can't say they're going to play for sure right now. They can say they plan to. They can't say it for sure right now. We'll see what happens. I think you can cancel early, but I would always err on the side to give myself more time to make a decision. I would always want to see what, you know, I'd want to see what's happening with basketball and the NFL and baseball. So I don't think the NFL can do anything but say, we're going to keep things as it is, and then we'll adjust if we need to adjust. I am in total agreement with you, though. This is really, from a scouting standpoint, you know, when I think some conferences are going to, I don't think the Pac-12 is going to play. If they play, I think they will play in the spring because they have to have that money.
Yeah.
And it's going to wreak havoc on.
Well, listen,
why do you think the Pac-12 is less likely to play than others?
In
because,
fall?
Because what?
Because
they're,
I think.
They're hippies and.
From yes, a because they're a bunch of lefties.
Well, I just think from a state standpoint,
money
they are.
Money means more than liberalism. So,
yeah. Right. But however, I think because they are. Listen. In California and in Oregon, in Washington, there is a lot more liberals that are pressuring to shut down.
I just think
in the South, they're like, we don't give a rat's
ass. Oregon and Washington are places. Washington certainly got hit early, but Oregon and Washington are places where they're not nearly as widespread with COVID than places.
Well, I could certainly see Arizona, Washington, Oregon all playing and saying, California, you ain't gonna play.
It's everybody or nobody over there. I mean, but the problem is from a political standpoint. I'm not trying to make this political. I'm just telling you, this is honestly the case. From a political standpoint, if the pressures that be from above say don't play, it's easier to default to don't play right now.
Let me just point out something. As of yesterday, there are 292 cases in the state of Oregon. 292.
Yeah.
So it would all be about perception because there's nothing that says they shouldn't play.
Right.
Right. It's perception.
Well, it'll be interesting.
It's perception that you're not taking care of the kids and that you don't want this free labor. You're forcing them into a potentially life-threatening situation. That's all the narrative you have to create, and no university is going to want to be associated with that.
Well,
here's the thing:
Oregon and Washington may stand with California because they can't play. And say, well, because California schools can't play,
it takes out a lot of
UCLA,
schools.
USC, Cal, Stanford, if they can't play, then we're going to be with our conference brethren.
I would say I don't think any conference will operate independently. Now they may make a final decision independently, but I believe that we've seen they all came together to do the COVID testing stuff. That was something a joint Power Five conference thing. Now eventually. They may go their own way, but I don't think they're operating independently because they know what removing a Power Five conference means to the college football.
Recruiting's going to be a pain in the ass.
Here's what else is going to mean. Look at Stanford already has canceled 11 different programs. What it's going to mean if they don't play this fall is a lot of lost money.
A lot of lost scholarships.
Yeah. Well, no, they're
athletes won't have a scholarship anymore because that program won't exist.
The kids that they cut the programs, they're all getting their scholarships, and the coaches are all getting
paid.
But
they won't exist beyond that.
Right. Well, the programs that they cut.
So here's what I was told.
But football will last. Will be back.
Well, that will be the last that you can possibly cut. But I was told this. You can't just start and stop programs. It's a lot harder, especially if you go 2 years out. It gets a lot harder to stop and start an athletic program from a budgetary standpoint.
Oh.
So will happen.
It's going to be a killer.
This is going to be a big killer for the budgets this year, without question. The question is how much it leaks into next year, too.
Well, it's going to leak into next year because there's going to be a bunch of sponsors that can't afford to advertise like they usually
do. Well, one guy who's got a
real vested interest. A lot of people who can't afford season tickets.
One guy who's got a real vested interest is Nick Carparelli. He'll be joining us in the next segment.
Right here on ESPN 97.5, and we'll talk to him about all of this stuff. He's much more knowledgeable than we are. That's not saying much. Hey, are you curious? Are you CBD oil curious? Well, I was, and guess what? I'm using CBD American Shaman. And CBD American Shaman, I can't say that I've tried this CBD oil, I've tried that CBD oil. I can't. All I know is this CBD oil and what it does for me, it is totally sweet. Relieves everyday stress, inflammation. It's a calmness, a relaxation. You have a positive, healthy mood, quality sleep, healthy joint function, natural sleep, healthy immune system. All of these things are benefits from CBD oil. Do you have an area that you're in pain that is inflamed? Do you have an area? I've heard so many people, you just rub it on. Well, the one that I'm taking comes in a bottle, and it's water soluble, and I drink it in the morning, and I drink it at night. And I'm going to tell you what, it's awesome, and I feel great, and I do sleep better. CBD American Shaman, they're so confident in their product that a free sample is no problem. Shop, visit shopcbdtx.com. That's shopcbdtx.com. 30 locations, 31 locations around the city, all over from Katy to Beaumont, Conroe to Galveston. There's an American Shaman CBD oil shop somewhere near you. Shopcbdtx.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Dell. Let's talk some college. We've been talking some college football, whether or not it goes off, all of the complications. And Nick Carparelli, fine Italian, another Italian leading the way. Executive Director of the Football Bowl Association, joining us here on ESPN 97.5. Nick, how are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you guys?
We're doing great. David Fletcher from the Texans says, hey, he's listening, and he wanted to tell you, hey.
He's a good man.
He's a great. He said, you're a great man, too. So let's talk a little bit. We're talking so much about what's going on. Do you foresee some of the Power 5 conferences playing and some not, like the Pac-12, maybe not going this year?
You know, I think it would be hard for, some of them to play and not all of them to play. You know, certainly, there's certain conferences that dictate what happens in college athletics. We all know that. I think it would be hard for the others to not follow suit one way or the other. But we'll find out in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how, we've always had this discussion about, are there too many bowl games? If you win six games, you qualify for a bowl game. And we know there's a lot of financial interest. And certainly we've seen it here on the radio side from an advertising standpoint. Everyone's feeling the crunch with the shutdown of sports and with, the financial situation being what it is. Are you concerned at all about your sponsors being able to hang in there this year through COVID-19?
Well, it's, first of all, I think we would all agree. I don't think you could ever have too many college football games. So, the number of bowl games, continues to grow because there's an appetite for it. Viewership is up on TV. People watch it. The average bowl game typically outrates the best regular season college basketball games of the year. So we love more football. In terms of the sponsorships, I think that's going to be a challenge across all sports. I don't think anything that happens this year that's out of the ordinary, whether it be sponsorships, attendance, you name it, is going to be unique to college football. And it's going to be a challenge for all of us.
Do you, we're talking with Nick Carparelli, the executive director of the Football Bowl Association. Do you see in a shortened season, let's say the Power Fives or, an American included, and I don't know what's going to happen with Conference USA or whatever. Do you see in a shortened season, 42 bowl games, or do you see just the major bowl games going off and some bowl games taking the year off?
Yeah, I think, certainly, with 42 bowl games, all 42 of them are working very hard on their, their own, their game, hosting two teams in their community as they do every year. And right now that's their focus. I'm not sure, why or what a rationale would be to just play some games and not others. As far as I know, and as discussions are happening across all the conferences, the health and safety of the student athlete and the fans is number one. I don't think that, the health and safety of some student athletes at certain schools at certain levels is more or less important than any others. But what I do know is that, the opportunity for these student athletes and
to participate in these bowl games and to play college football in general, it's been a lifelong dream for these guys. You know, it's our job to try to protect these opportunities. I mean, especially in your state, you know, in Texas, kids start at a very, very young age dreaming of playing major college football and to play in bowl games. And let's face it, 98% of Division I college players are not going to play at the NFL. So for the guys that are seniors, you know, I feel for them. You know, this is the bowl game experience could be their last opportunity to play, you know, to play the game of football with their friends, you know, on a bowl trip that's going to be create memories that last a lifetime. So we're going to do everything we can, you know, as safely as we can to protect those opportunities for those student athletes.
Nick Carparelli with us here on ESPN 97.5, Executive Director of the Football Bowl Association. So let's say, I don't know, so Big 12 will play 9 conference games because that's what they do, and they only play those 9 games, and the SEC, who knows how many games they're going to play. Everybody could be playing 11 or 10 or 9 or whatever they do. How are you going to change your standard for bowl eligibility?
Yeah, that's a great question, and one we get asked frequently. And it depends on how many games are played, you know, and what the final record is. You know, in terms of what is bowl eligible now, you know, everybody thinks it's 6 wins because under normal circumstances, you're scheduled to play 12 games. So you get to 6, and you're guaranteed to be 6-6 or better at .500. The reality is the bowl eligibility as it is written is .500 or better. So if a team plays 10 games, 5-5 is bowl eligible. It does not require a waiver or a rule change. What will be interesting is if there's, you know, different teams, different leagues with different numbers of games, how do you compare a 5-5 team to a 4-5 team? Do you penalize the 4-5 team just because they didn't have the opportunity to play that 10th game and to get to .500? So I think that's going to be an ongoing discussion. I think once we know what the regular season is going to look like, the NCAA Football Competition Committee, we'll have a great discussion up front at the beginning of the year in terms of what bowl eligibility might look like this year, and the conversations will be ongoing. I do think this, though, you know, this is going to be a strange year, such a strange year overall. I think final record for bowl eligibility, you know, probably shouldn't be the focal point. It should be, you know, providing opportunities for the student athletes. This is a bowl season is a celebration of college football. And, you know, we're going to see a lot of funky results, a lot of funky final records, and it's going to be hard to compare. And, you know, I think giving the full 84 teams, an opportunity to compete in bowl season is the priority this year.
To that end, you have, in terms of opportunities, you have agreements with conferences for different, you know, bowl, different slotting and different bowls. What you're in a holding pattern, just like the rest of us are, in terms of seeing if the different conferences are going to go in the fall or if they try to push to the spring. Are you working on contingency plans if you lose an entire conference, for example, and a conference that was already slotted into 5 bowls or 6 bowls or more?
Yeah, that's hard. I think, you know, dealing in you know, speculation and what ifs has been so hard for all of us in the last 5 months. And, you know, the 42 bowl executive directors, I think, have done a great job of being very patient in these last 5 months. You know, the conference commissioners have so much on their plate that they have to handle before we even get to bowl season. But those conversations will be had between the executive directors and each of the conference commissioners. Based on what the regular season looks like.
We got Nick Carparelli with us, the executive director of the Football Bowl Association. How do we, Nick, fix the Rose Bowl problem when it's not involved in the playoff? Then the playoff has to move to New Year's Eve or December 2nd. But when it is, we can have our playoff on New Year's Day. I always thought that you should play maybe the Cotton Bowl at noon, the Cotton Bowl, which would be a playoff, and then the Rose Bowl play, and then maybe the Fiesta Bowl or whatever bowl at that night that would be the other playoff game. But that doesn't seem to be the case. How do we fix the problem so we can still have our playoff on New Year's Day when the Rose Bowl is not involved?
Yeah, I think the entire bowl system, we owe the great tradition of bowl games to the Rose Bowl. You know, they were the very first one to do it back in 1902, so... You know, I'm not sure if they're a problem or a blessing for us, but I do understand your point for sure. It's one of the great things about the bowl season and why our postseason in college football is so unique is because of the great histories and the great traditions. And, you know, not to say that there's not challenges as you presented, but, you know, the commissioners have always made it a priority to balance the great history and tradition of the bowl games and of college football in general with, you know, what's best for the game in the current day. And right now it's a little bit of a balance between, you know, the 14 playoff and the rest of, you know, the rest of the bowl lineup that serves the majority of FBS college football. And, you know, I'm not sure that's going to change anytime soon. I think that's something we may have to live with, but, you know, I think there's certainly some, a lot to celebrate with the Rose Bowl for sure.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but
go ahead.
Would there be a way for the bowl system to work with an 8-team playoff and using the bowls as the playoff sites?
Yeah, I think, you know, when the commissioners, you know, decide to discuss the playoff and does it, you know, does it stay the same? Does it change? You know, I think ideas like that will be on the table. I don't know that it'll change. I know when the 14 playoff started 6 years ago, everybody painted this doom and gloom picture about the rest of the bowl system, but I know that the ratings are up and we've added three games, so no one's forcing anyone to do that. So I don't think that's happened. If the playoff does expand, you know, it's still a very, very small sample of Division I football. There's 103 FBS institutions, whether it's four teams or eight teams that get into the postseason. You know, the other 122 teams need something realistic to play for based on who they are and what their program is. So, you know, regardless of what the playoff is now or what it becomes in the short term, there is a great need, great desire on the part of the conferences to provide opportunities to a greater set of schools.
Mm. Nick, you spent some time, I'm kind of curious, your background. You were there with the Patriots and Belichick in the for his first Super Bowl, which is way, way back, 20 years ago,
yes.
And I'm kind of curious as to how that has shaped you moving forward, being around a guy like Bill Belichick, who obviously he's a figure that's larger than life, but he's also extremely influential and very successful. How's that shaped the way you go about your job?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. That's, you know, I love my relationship with Coach Belichick. I'm very fortunate that I have it. He was, you know, he was all the good that people know of him, and he probably gets criticized a little unfairly for, you know, his shortness with the media. But he's very, very smart. He's a great leader. He's not the rah-rah, fire and brimstone kind of coach that you see in movies, but he has a great way of appealing to his staffs and the players' emotions and to get them to perform at their best. He's very consistent, but he's got a great human side to him. He understands that everybody's different. Everybody has a lot of things going on in their life, and if those things aren't in order, he's not going to get the most out of them on the field or in the workplace. So he's very aware of people's lives outside of football and does some surprising things from time to time to accommodate those things. Yeah, it was a privilege to work for him.
Nick Carparelli with us here, the executive director. Before you go, how do these smaller bowls, how do they survive? Well, you know, you see some attendance at smaller bowls, which is sparse, and, you know, and obviously they have some sponsors, but how do they stay alive compared to the Orange or the Fiesta and the other bigger bowls?
Well, you know, a couple of reasons. I mean, every bowl game is different. They all have different roles in the system. And, you know, they all appeal to, you know, different teams based on the program, the schools that are invited to play in those games, where those programs are in the history of the game and in their development in the short term, and also a reflection of the type of season they had. So, you know, some games it's not about attendance. To be honest with you, it would be unrealistic for us to expect some of these games based on the date that they're played, the time of day they're played, and where they're located. It would be unrealistic to expect them to have a lot of fans, but what they do offer is like I said earlier, the great opportunity for these student athletes to play one last game with their friends, you know, in some unique destination, to be on national TV for a lot of programs, it's almost the beginning of the next season. You know, it provides the winners, you know, the schools that win their bowl games, it gives them great momentum going into recruiting, going into the next season. And you know, all you need to know is these schools are clamoring and lobbying to get into bowl games and to get that sixth win. And you there's stories across the board about schools that are doing whatever they can to get into bowl games so they can experience all those things I outlined for you.
That's Nick Carparelli, the executive director of the Football Bowl Association right here on ESPN 97.5. Well, we appreciate
I'll tell you one good story you asked me about Coach Belichick. The you know, my friend Matt Patricia got married about 10 years ago. His wedding was in Aruba. And so he invited me and my wife at the time. And I probably had one of the all-time great wedding tables, right? You know, you sit at tables with, you know, friends of the bride and groom. And, you know, they try to sit you with people you know. So the eight-person table, it was myself and my wife at the time was Coach Belichick and his girlfriend Linda, still his girlfriend. It was Coach O'Brien and his wife. Who was the offensive coordinator at the time for Bill, as you know, and it was Pepper Johnson, who was on staff with us, and his girlfriend. So that was our table of eight, and
pretty good
around the tables to take photos of the tables with the bride and groom, and Matt and Raina came over next to us. It was quite a sight. I now I know what it's like to be in front of paparazzi, because everybody took their opportunity to take a picture of Coach Belichick at that moment.
That is great. That is great. That's Nick Carparelli. Nick, we appreciate your time. Thanks, and best of luck through these tough times.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, Nick Carparelli, the executive director of the Football Bowl Association. Another Italian leading the way. Dr. Fauci, Mr. Carparelli, Mr. Granato.
No, you're not in there.
What? What are you talking
about?
You're not leading the way.
You're not leading the way.
Leading the way. Okay.
Leading what way?
This way, leading the golf way, okay? Living the golf life.
Golf asks that you not speak for them.
Considering your past and your present.
Considering your history, golf has asked for a complete disassociation with you other than on Saturday mornings.
That's it.
When you were Charlie.
Me and Charlie.
I want to tell you who I don't disassociate from. That's TJS Insurance. As a matter of fact, I associate with them. And you should too. The biggest savings I ever saw was actually a guy at a Deer Park here in Houston. His savings was into the $3,000 range. I said savings, not what it cost. His savings were into the $3,000 range because he had a house and an RV. And I don't know all his specifics, but I was blown away. And it's normal for people to have the average savings is right around $900 for your homeowner's insurance. What they do is they have A-rated insurance companies that are all vying for your business. And these are the same companies that underwrite the insurance for the big brand name companies. They do all the advertising and marketing, and then they have these companies underwrite the insurance, and you pay the middleman. This eliminates that. And all you have to do is text the word money to 232323, and you're going to get a firm quote within 15 seconds. It's incredible how quickly you can find out whether or not they can save you money. And even a savings of $400 is worth it to you because you're getting A-rated insurance. But in many cases, the savings get into four digits. So make sure that you check it out for yourself and see what they can do for you. TGSinsurance.com. Text the word money to 232323.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. The dulcet tones of a Nick Carparelli right here.
He's fighting for those bowl games.
He loves some bowl games.
Well, that's his job. He's the director of bowl games. Nick, do you think that, how about Miga? Nick, do you think that, you know, a lot of people don't like bowl games as much and want to eliminate bowl games? What's your thoughts on getting rid of some of your bowl games? I would like to.
Everyone loves bowl games.
Actually have more bowl games, if that's possible.
It's almost impossible. Because that's 84 teams playing bowl games. Yeah, it's 84 because the playoff involves the bowls.
The five win Illinois Illini take on the eight win Central Michigan Chippewas.
I was thinking of Central Michigan too.
Were you?
Yeah.
I heard you say
Central Michigan Chippewas. I don't know that everybody agrees that we want more bowl games. I'm not sure about
that. What's Western Michigan? What's their?
Western Michigan is the, there's some kind of a horse.
Mm-hmm.
They're a horse.
I'm pretty sure they're Broncos.
The Mustangs? Oh, Broncos. You're right. Broncos. Okay. Yeah.
Central Michigan, Western Michigan, Eastern Michigan.
Is green.
Yeah, they're like a.
They're a bird. Michigan either the Falcons or the Eagles or something like that.
What's Ohio?
Bobcats.
They're
Marshall
green, too.
Marshall Thundering Herd?
Yep. Well, yeah, but that's not that conference.
No, but we're just I'm just going to the team. It's kind of like they're in the same conference.
They're
kind of the pain of mine.
Eastern
Michigan Eagles.
You're right on the bird.
What's the Eastern Illinois?
What's Buffalo?
Buffalo Bison.
Yep.
I don't know about Eastern Illinois. No idea.
Eastern Illinois.
Illinois, the Huskies.
Yep. Yeah, they're the Huskies. I don't
know about Eastern Illinois is Tony Romo.
Yeah, I just don't know their match.
The Raiders.
They're the Panthers.
They're the Panthers?
Eastern Illinois Panthers.
What about Pitt State?
This is a really boring game, I think, for people.
No, everyone right now is playing in their car. Keep going, guys. All right, Pittsburgh State Gorillas.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh State Gorillas?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. The Toledo?
Mud Hens?
No.
Nope.
They're the Rockets.
Toledo Rockets.
Akron Zips.
Akron Zips, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going through the MAC. Stay with us. Coming up next, we're getting ready to go to the Sun Belt Conference. So don't go anywhere.
FIU.
FIU is
the Sun Belt. Is it?
Florida International Panthers.
Yes.
FAU.
They're birds.
Battle Hawks.
No. Battle Hawks.
Nope.
Sidewinders.
FAU. Which Florida. One had Kiffin? FIU or FAU?
FAU. They're a bird.
They're a bird, too.
Let's say they're Battle Hawks. The Florida
not the Battle Hawks. That was
the worst radio we've ever done.
So people call them.
10 o'clock yesterday, worst radio.
All right, listen, guys.
Yes.
Mark Hubbard?
Yes.
Are you kidding? The response? Through the roof.
Watch how many people we get called. If you'd like to play Guess the Mascot.
Is the roof.
And if you'd like to play Guess the school mascot.
All right.
Not the actual mascot, but who they are.
You can win Lance's phone.
We're not doing the phone.
Oh. How about your gavel?
Yeah, FAU Owls, by the way.
Owls. That's right. And what's Rice? Owls.
Non-existent.
Temple. Ooh, Owls.
What about a loser leave town, loser leave football matchup? FAU versus Rice.
FAU would destroy Rice.
Well, here's what it is.
Well, one of them has academic standards.
Okay.
And then we're going to have
FAU.
Loser loses its college, and we'll have some kind of academic decathlon or something.
Rice loses to smart schools too.
Yeah, but if they just did smart guy stuff, they would win.
Like what?
Whatever a smart thing is, an academic decathlon, some type of STEM championship, they would crush Florida Atlantic.
But no one wants to watch that.
Destroy
well, people watch
them.
Spelling Bees.
Yeah.
People watch games in Staples Center.
They watch little kids in Spelling Bees. No one's going to want to watch 20-something spell. No one cares about that.
Yeah, no, that'll be must-watch TV. Okay, would you rather watch that or the New Orleans Bowl?
The New Orleans Bowl.
You can gamble on a New Orleans Bowl.
You can gamble on this, too.
On Spelling Bees?
On Spelling Bee. Rice versus FAU.
Rice is off the board. Right. If they had Spelling Bee, I mean, Rice is like minus 60,000.
I'm sure there's some smart people at FAU.
Yeah, I guess probably some, but just the pure quantity of smart people at Rice would blow them away.
Yeah,
if you had Team Spelling Bees, I think Team Spelling Bee is something you can maybe, like, look, we can't do football this year. Maybe Rice pushes that. Listen, we can't do football this year. Mike Bloomer is like the head coach, like, let's try. Like, listen, no. We here at Rice want to do maybe Team Spelling Bees. Anyone want in? Start our own leagues. We'll abolish football. It'll be great. We'll get rid of all the sports and just do like spelling bee stuff and robot building. What about the robot stuff, robotics?
Oh, no. Rice would destroy him.
Rice was, yeah, because Rice would be win ranked, a national championship.
Ranked top five every year. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, that they destroy.
I like how we're saying things like spelling bee and real smart, and the actual smart people were like, God, you think spelling bees are the smart? Okay.
Soli's all in on Rice versus FAU spelling bee.
I'm all in. It would be.
It would be funny.
It would be a bloodbath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
You get your five best spellers.
I've got a lot of thoughts on that. I've got a filter. I've got my filter. Your Honor.
Just making
sure. I'd like to say that I think I am rehabilitated. Okay. From saying stuff that I should, I think I have. I've done my sentence, and I think I've been rehabilitated because I had a lot of things to say there that I didn't. Okay. So the Rockets have a broadcast schedule. They are going to be playing. Scrimmages are set for Friday night against Toronto, Sunday versus Memphis, and Tuesday against Boston. Opener versus the Raptors tips off at 6:30 is on going to be carried live on NBA TV.
Nice.
Sunday, NBA TV will carry the second scrimmage against the Grizz. And then Tuesday scrimmage against Boston tips off at, and that'll be on the Houston official team website, rockets.com. So there you have it. So you'll be able to watch now. Would you rather watch Rocket Scrimmage or Astros Live Baseball? Baseball that counts.
Baseball that counts. But I can flip.
Yeah.
I can flip. But, you know, baseball that counts. But there's only 60 games. Baseball that counts.
Baseball that counts is important.
Now, baseball that counts versus basketball that counts. See, the end of the regular season to me is less. I'm just about the playoffs right now.
Well, I know the seeding matters. But they got a seed, yeah.
Yeah, I know the seeding matters. But to me, the Rockets are going to be back in, more than likely. I think they're going to be back into the it doesn't cost you home court anymore. But I think they're going to be sitting there five or six. And is my guess.
Well, they got a shot to move all the way up to.
No, they have a shot.
Right? I mean, this is the Rockets are, let's see the standings. They're not far out of. So they are 40-24, which is tied for fifth, mm-hmm. one game out of fourth, mm-hmm. and just 2.5 games out of third.
Right, but that's
now that's a lot to make up.
That's unlikely. That's a lot to make up with this short of time. But if you look at the, the Rockets are also tied for seventh. You didn't mention that.
Yeah. Well, no, they're not. Game and a half ahead.
You're right. You're right. They have three fewer games.
Yeah. Right.
They have three fewer games.
So yeah, Dallas is in seventh
and 40-27, same wins. But yeah, you're right. They should.
They're only a game and a half out of third. They could actually catch the Nuggets. I could see that a game and a half. And
that's a lot to make up.
And okay, would you prefer? See, it doesn't matter third or sixth.
They're 2.5 behind the Nuggets.
Would you prefer being the third seed or the fourth seed in the 4-5 game or the 3-6 game? Because the 3-6 game, you play the Clippers in the second round. The 4-5 game, you play the Lakers in the second round.
I don't really have a preference there. I think both of them are incredibly difficult.
I think you probably should. You probably should.
Who?
Pat Bev is gone. Chamet is gone. Montrezl is gone. Who else is gone? There's one more guy that's
Bev
not
out
there.
For good, though?
Bev just left the facility.
But what's his status?
Well, no one knows because no one can say anything. He has left the bubble. So he's out. Zubac's out. Harrell's out. Chamet is out.
Emergency personal matter. That's all you ever hear when somebody is gone. It's emergency personal matter. Pat Beverly will be back.
Yeah.
Now, he still has to quarantine.
He's got to quarantine when he gets back, and he's got to test negative a couple of times when he gets back.
But at the
they
end
must
of the day,
quarantine 4 to 10 days upon returning to the bubble.
Pat Beverly is a big factor.
Well,
that's
now,
a big deal.
Now it really doesn't matter because you've got this week, then you've got a couple of weeks of you got more than 3 weeks of games. So he'll be back in plenty of time for the playoffs. But where's Montrezl? Where's Chamet? Maybe these guys, they might not come back. We don't know. Here's what this story says. A combination of Zubac and Harrell not being with the team could result in Joakim Noah having a larger role. Does not everyone want that? Mm-hmm. Joakim Noah having a larger role? Everyone except the Clippers wants that? Mm-hmm. The Clippers don't want any piece, any part of that. Joakim Noah having a bigger role. No, thank you.
And Montrez left for family emergency, too. Dude, they're going to be back.
You don't know that.
And he said on his Instagram, don't worry, mama, your grandson on the way. So that's going to be, now, that's true. If his grandma's sick or in, I mean, he can't go into any kind of, you can't get into a situation if she's on ventilator or whatever, there's nothing, he can't go in. I mean, there's nothing, you can't go in to see somebody who's on a ventilator in the COVID unit. But, so you never know. But if, if they lose Montrez, if they lose Pat Beverly, that's a really, really big deal. I mean, those are major, major players. You still have Kawhi and Paul George. That's still going to be a problem. Both of them can defend. I mean, it's going to be an issue if you play them. But, yeah, if you're shorthanded, you would rather see a shorthanded Clippers team than the Lakers, because the Lakers do have arrested LeBron. They do have a big Kyle Kuzma. They do have a really big, talented Anthony Davis. So it is going to be – I mean, that is going to be a tough route for you, the Lakers, if there are injury situations, if there is players, major players like Montrez and like Pat Beverly out. But still, you still have such a pain in the ass dealing with George and Kawhi Leonard. I don't know that that's something to really root for. But if you had to choose one or the other,
oh, yeah.
I guess you choose
the Clippers. I don't know, but they played the Lakers pretty well, actually.
No, I know they have. Yeah. But you still would rather have a team that's a little shorthanded.
You'd rather have – well, by the time they play the Clippers in the playoffs, those guys will be back.
Honestly, I don't see how anyone would rather play a guy who always gets to the finals. I mean, whatever you want to say about LeBron James, he's always in the finals. He knows. Now, the same can be said for, you know, Kawhi Leonard saying, cool, I always win finals. But
yeah,
you can get there. I like to win finals.
Yeah,
so you got to play that guy, too.
Yeah. So which one do you want?
I'd still rather play probably Clippers.
So you want to be the 3 or 6?
I probably don't want to see an elite big and elite 3, a 3-4. I don't want to see that. And then Kuzma has got size. I think the Lakers are not stupid. They have to figure out, wait a minute, the Rockets are tiny. Let's just play what we play and let's put an emphasis on banging them with our size.
It's amazing.
They can't be that stupid.
It can't be that stupid. They were, though. JG getting a frog in his throat after censoring himself is perfect. His body rejected having to keep those thoughts inside, kind of like John Coffey having to spit those bee things out in Green Mile. It was a little bit difficult, I will say that. 902 ESPN 97.5. I got to talk right now about Doc Linville. Doc Linville is he's fantastic. I love what he has done. My hair, I feel like, honestly, it is amazing. It's night and day from before I went in there and to now. It's, you know, I looked a little thin in the back, but not completely bald like I was. I had a giant bald spot that everybody made fun of and hurt my feelings. But that's not the case anymore. Nobody hurts my feelings anymore. You know why? It's because I got hair. And I got hair because Doc Linville moved it from down here to up here, up at the top. And those hairs don't ever go away because the hair on your side of your head, they don't fall out. And so they won't fall out on the top of your head. And Doc Linville is perfect at this. And if you've ever tried to, if you've seen it before, hey, we can move your hair. This is so much easier. The neo-grafting, the process, everything about it is so great. You will love it. So go to 975hair.com, 975hair.com. Find out for yourself. Get a free consultation with Doc Linville. Tell him that you heard it right here. Start having hair again. You don't have to go without hair. 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick.
However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this. ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
Ew.